This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the Free Odyssey.
It is incredible what the New York Mets have been able to do over the last couple of weeks. We've talked about the possibilities, maybe even not really believing that that would be the case, but here we are, the Mets on a run and now in the National League Championship Series awaiting their opponent, whether it's the Padres or the Dodgers. And BT, it's because of Francisco Lindor. And a caller called us either last week or a couple of weeks ago talking about Lindor after the home run that he hit against Atlanta,
yep,
saying, oh, he's the king of the New York and ahead of Brunson and Judge, and I wasn't ready to go there. Neither of us were ready to go there at that particular point. But what's followed since, where even if Lindor's not the guy to get the big hit, let's say Alonso with the big home run in Milwaukee, Lindor is on base and working a tremendous at bat so that it could happen. Whether it's the comeback in game one against Philadelphia, same thing. Francisco Lindor, he has been central to every big victory that the Mets have had. And then last night, there was no doubt in my mind. Stern said it afterward. I think anybody who's watched the Met game in the last couple of weeks felt the same way. Lindor is the exact guy that you want up in that spot. You know he is going to come through, and he does it in grand fashion. And when you step back and look at where we are in New York sports, and it's great what's going on in New York sports, to me, Francisco Lindor is at the head of the table, propelling the Mets to the National League Championship Series. He, right now, is the number one New York sports athlete in this town.
Okay, first of all, congrats. I mean, it's become one of the most amazing stories in New York lore. You know, it's getting up there fast. All right, so pertaining to the statement that Sal just made, so he's the guy in New York, right?
I think he is. Yeah, okay, I mean, who are the others? Brunson and Judge?
Brunson and Judge, maybe Shesterkin, yeah. Another deep run, get the Rangers to the cup. I got you.
Lindor's done more.
It's a short list. See, I think amazingly, while I still have Brunson one, all right, I actually think that he's flirting with two lists right now. The one list is the current, and the other list is all time.
Right.
Because now they'd have to finish the job for him to jump on that list. But when you think about Namath's guarantee, when you think about Willis Reed limping out and becoming a champion for the Knicks, when you think about Mark Messier dropping the guarantee, then dropping the hat trick against the Devils, then delivering the cup for the first time in 40 years, and when you think of Reggie's three home runs, you are thinking about those are I can go back to Larson, but I'm just somewhat modern. Those snapshots in New York history that resulted in championships are attainable. That's the amazing thing about this. Even though I slightly disagree, I still go Brunson.
Right.
And by the way, the reason I go Brunson, let's not forget, when half the team was banged up, he dropped in succession 39, 47, 40, 41, and 42 against the Sixers and the Pacers in succession in those series. So I'm not here to relegate Lindor to a spot that he doesn't deserve. He's moving up. But it's still Brunson for me, but the other list to me is equally as interesting. He could get on that list if he keeps this up and the Mets get to and win the World Series.
He has been a central figure to the Mets' success, not only all year long as far as being an MVP, offensively, defensively, plays every game, coming back from a back injury, a significant back injury that kept him out for a significant stretch toward the end of the year. He comes back when we weren't sure if that was going to be the case and then produces at an extremely high level, again, offensively and defensively, clutch as you could be. And the thing that I love most about it is his attitude. He gets it. It's one of the reasons why I love Brunson and put him on that list. Even though the Knicks haven't gotten to a conference finals, even though the Knicks obviously haven't gotten to an NBA finals or won a championship, Brunson's up there because of the selfless way that he acts, taking less money. Well, that's Lindor. And the contract, as Cohen said last night, all of a sudden it's looking like a bargain. Where we all, even though I was a Lindor supporter, we all thought that that contract was a bad one because the Mets overpaid at the time. Remember, Lindor was the first big move under ownership. Under new ownership.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and traded for him and then signed him immediately. That was the beginning of the Steve Cohen Mets. Dating back to that. Now, it didn't start out well. Obviously, the bad first season, the thumbs down stuff, the Baez trade, all that nonsense. The squirrel, the rat, raccoon stuff that they get into, whatever it was. So it was ugly initially, and it's easy to forget that Lindor was the first big significant move. And without that, they aren't here. He is the key part to it. So all of that, plus his attitude, being a team-first guy, not with the bat flips, not with the dancing around the bases after a big home run. Hey, Francisco, why aren't you showing emotion? He's like, I am on the inside, but the job's not done. I want to win it all. Same attitude that Brunson has. So I think he has surpassed Brunson because he's done more as far as taking the team further right now. Judge obviously has been great in the regular season. Yep. He hasn't done it in the playoffs. We'll get to him and the Yankees a little bit later on. But how could you be right now? They're 8 wins away from winning it all. And he's becoming a sports god in this town. Francisco Lindor right now is the premier athlete in New York City.
You know, I'm happy that you bring up the celebrations because, and I've noticed this for a while, the bigger the moment, the more understated his response is, which is very rare, very, very Brunson-like. Can we take a step back for 1 second? I mean, and this is interesting because he is climbing this list here. We're going to stick with this. But
yeah.
I was joking yesterday on the show, hey, I wish I could scrub some of these takes, you know, stop hitting lefty
and
right. To appreciate where the team is, but where he is, this is everything that I was demanding.
Right.
When not so much you and not so much Teague, when Teague and I were together, but I think one thing that really set Met fans off is I think deep down, and you can see his elevated play, which at least going back to the conversation then shows that, and not about being right or wrong, but what I was calling for was this.
Right.
If I don't think you have it, I'm not holding you to that standard. And the contract and the OPS, which I was always referencing, the fact, is he really a top 10 player? Like, I thought he had this in him because I watched him for years with the Guardians, and I'm like, man, this guy is a superstar. And I was so frustrated, even though he's not on my team, that I thought there was this elevated standard. Like, I thought it was a false elevate. I know he's a good guy, good fielder, post every day. We knew that. Mm-mm. But that's what everybody was telling me. And they weren't pointing to baseball stuff. They weren't saying like, hey, he's got a 312 average in the clutch like he does now. Yeah. Or his OPS is 912. Or he's this. It was always about things that I knew, but things that I expected in terms of, you know, just playing every day and playing hard. Sal, this is everything that I was screaming for, what he has done with the back that you know is barking,
right,
that probably takes an hour to get ready for before every night, every game. It is amazing, and I'm so happy for him because he is an awesome guy. I needed more, and he shoved it down my throat happily.
And by the way, I think he even surpassed whatever.
I agree, and that's actually true.
Like,
that's true.
He's better now than he's ever been before.
Yeah.
And he was great in Cleveland. He is now as superstar as you get. Think about this. He hasn't been an all-star since he's been a Met. And that's not like the media or fans ripping him. He hasn't been an all-star since he's been a New York Met. And now he is a superstar, one of the best in the game, if not the best in the game at the moment, carrying a team to a National League Championship Series on his hurt back in an MVP year, doing it in clutch moments day after day after day. Whether it's a big at-bat for a walk and passing the baton, whether it is a grand slam, a clutch two-run homer, a big defensive play, or all of the above. And then he says stuff like this, and this is what we love. Listen to this quote from Francisco Lindor from last night. You have that quote up there? Well, you told me you had it. Do we have it or no? Go ahead, play it.
Francisco, is there any extra significance knowing that you're a part of the team that this is the first time in 24 years that they've clinched a playoff series at home to do it in front of this fan base?
I want to win it all. I want to win it all, and then that's will be a team that will forever be remembered. That'll be a team that comes every 10 years and eat for free everywhere they go. and I want to do that. I want to do that. The job is not done. We got to continue to climb. We got to continue to play the game the right way, respect our opponents, and go out there and give everything we have.
And that, BT, is why I felt like this for a while. Lindor just won't let them lose because he wants to. He's not just saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's not celebrating to the highest of levels. They're enjoying it. And he showed emotion. And they're celebrating with the champagne as they should. But he also knows how hard it is to get this far and now how close they are and how big it would be to finish the job. This is great, but there's still work to be done. And that is a leader. That is an MVP. That is an all-time New York sports athlete. Finish the job, and then he's going to be a sports god.
Listen, if you just tuned in, I throw out the Namath guarantee, the Willis Reed, you know, limping out, hitting the first couple of shots, Knicks win the championship, Messier's guarantee, and Reggie. Now, Reggie, the three home runs in the World Series. We're not there yet, okay? And there's others, Derek Jeter's plays, whatever, but those really jump out. And if he's able to finish this, and it's only going to get tougher, it's not going to get easier, and we'll talk about the matchups and rotation. Yep. I know you're fired up about the rotation. Martino had some reporting. You want to get into that later, which we will. It's all in front of him. And Sal, everything, like one thing that's pretty simple, even though a lot of the conversations we have nuance, like even with Salah, with Rodgers, with anything, nuance, Boone, Cashman, nuance, right? What really isn't that nuance, because you kind of know when you see it, you know when you have a superstar and you know when you don't. And when you have to work so hard to elevate, like, say, Julius Randle or respect to Randle.
Yeah, yeah.
Not quite there. And for the first 3 years with Lindor, not quite there. Now, all you have to say is the name. And you know what you say? You say superstar.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Larry is in East Islip. What's up, Larry?
What's up, fellas? Sal, let me tell you, I was there the last 2 nights. Lindor separated himself this weekend, boys. He separated himself. That is a true winner. You see how he talks post-game. You see how he acts. He hits the home run, he starts jogging. I'm screaming, I'm grabbing the guy in front of me, yelling, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. He doesn't say a word, he trots around, gives everybody a hug, goes back in the dugout. That's who we want. That's who we need. He's not saying, I didn't go to the All-Star game, I'm an All-Star. No, no, no. A true leader does exactly what he did. He's seen it, he lived it, he stepped up, and he did it. That's all I got, boys. Have a great day. Hey, I'll be there next Wednesday. Let's go,
Larry. Hey, give me goosebumps, that whole call. Excellent call. And I think that's the point, BT. Like, obviously, we acknowledge where the Mets are at as a team, but none of this happens without Francisco Lindor. And that was the beginning. Matter of fact, you know who I texted last night?
Mm.
Sandy Alderson.
Did you?
I did.
Did he get back to you?
He did.
Okay.
And I just said, I could actually read the text. It was basically like, thank you. I said thank you for signing him. Obviously, you know, trading and signing for Lindor.
Sure, sure.
Thank you because people are going to overlook that and forget about how it all started. But that's how this started. Like, these things don't happen by accident. When you see teams have success, it may feel like it comes out of nowhere, but it doesn't. And the Mets made a move that many people questioned, even at the time, me, like, instead of Lindor, I wanted Springer, Real Muto. Like, there were different ways I would look to build the ball club.
Mm-hmm.
But Sandy Alderson, then president and running things, made the decision to trade for Francisco Lindor, believing that he was going to be a superstar here. Then they extended him. And for years, not a year, not initially, years, many people, even Lindor supporters and believers like myself, said, that wasn't the move for a superstar. The contract is bad. And yet here we are. So years later, none of this would have been possible without making that move. So I said, yeah, thank you for making that move to Lindor. He said, thank you, Sal. Hope you're enjoying this run.
There you go.
All that stuff. But I think it was good to acknowledge. Like, think about BT.
We should get him on the show. I'd love to, like, hear about the decision to pursue him the way they did.
And remember, Cohen didn't know his ass from his elbow when it comes to sport. Like, you know, he loved the team and all that stuff, but, like, he didn't know how to run. He's still learning. He would admit that. So I'm not knocking King Cohen. He's the one who backed the move and backed the payroll, but that was the beginning. And now years later, here we are where it's paying dividends, and guys that are no longer here, like Sandy Alderson, do deserve some credit. Now, it's not about Sandy, and he wouldn't make it about him, but
it's an interesting
point. About Lindor.
If Sandy doesn't get him, Lindor's not here. Probably not talking about the Mets right now, at least in terms of playing baseball, maybe offseason plans like usual. No, I think that Lindor's the starting point, even though it's accelerated, obviously, the last couple of months here. The ancillary pieces, as great as Lindor's been, I don't think the Mets are in the playoffs without Iglesias.
I
know they're not here without Vientos' production or Manaea's production, and Manaea switching 19 or 20 starts to go to that slingshot. So while Sandy identified Lindor, and by the way, I mean, most of us then identified him as a superstar.
Right. He was a star player.
Superstar, borderline superstar, absolute star, no doubt. In his mid-20s with a ton of upside still in his prime. So
you think he'd be here if it were different owners?
No. If it was the previous owners, 100%
that's
no.
That's what I'm saying.
No,
so think about it. It was a combination of Steve Cohen and Alderson. I'm just trying to go back to the origin of it.
I got you. And I'm just pushing this forward so the first brick was the acquisition of him, but without Stearns, you guys aren't playing last night.
100%.
It's just not. I mean, look at what he did.
Yep. There are many layers to how a team has success.
Yeah.
But the idea that, like, wow, the little engine that could, this came out of nowhere. No, this has been years in the making. As a matter of fact, this core group was a playoff team in 2022. Now, we didn't think that they were great, and obviously they got beat by the Braves and went out meekly in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
But it's they've had more success than not under the ownership of Steve Cohen, dating back to the Francisco Lindor move.
Who do you want more? You want the Padres for revenge, or you want the Dodgers for that sexy showdown, little 88 revenge?
I
know you don't care.
Yeah, I really don't.
You really don't have one.
I have no.
I would. I'm thinking if I was a Mets fan, who would I want? Like, yeah, I guess we'd always get back to that. But I'd say probably give me the higher profile. Give me the Dodgers. Let's go all the way.
That'd be fun for
Let's
sure.
Let's go.
Matt is in Lincoln, Nebraska. What's up, Matt?
Unbelievable week. I mean, can you believe that it was just barely over a week ago they were playing for their lives in Atlanta, and of course Lindor coming up big in that one again.
And then they were dead in Milwaukee. I mean, Matt, then they were dead in Milwaukee, dead to rights until Pete Alonso saved them.
100%. I mean, this is playoff baseball, guys. I mean, every guy stepping up. I mean, who would have thought Reed Garrett would re-enter the circle of trust? Two big strikeouts last night. Who would have thought David Peterson, who came up 4 or 5 years ago and looked like a career minor leaguer, was going to step up and give huge strikeouts, be our most trusted guy out of the bullpen at times during this run. It's just unbelievable. It's magic. BT, I'm not taking a shot at you. I'm not giving you shrapnel or anything. Congrats on the Yankees win. But this, I know you're an Adam Sandler fan, Sal. This reminds me of Happy Gilmore. The Mets are Happy Gilmore. The Yankees are Shooter McGavin. We are fun. We are prancing around.
Here's the thing, and we'll work in the Yankees, Matt.
Here's
thank
the free
you for
lesson
the
for you.
We'll work in the Yankees a little bit. The difference is Happy Gilmore was a movie. This is reality. So you could say, well, we couldn't script it any better, and this is a Hollywood. Yeah, but it's actually happening. The comparison that I said, BT, before the start of this Phillies series, Mets-Phillies series, was the Giants in 2007. That's what it felt like. Nobody really, certainly me, and I don't think many people outside of some Giant fans, I didn't believe that they were capable of beating the Cowboys in Dallas or the Packers in Green Bay or then the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And that was a similar feel to where, how could that be happening? But you ride the momentum as opposed to going against it, and the Mets are now in the National League Championship Series.
It's insane, and Lindor's leading the way. And listen, it's got to be said again, he's got every reason multiple times where he could have flexed publicly because, listen, he's no dummy. He's got family members who I'm sure at some point on some level tell him or intimate what's being said on the, whether it's in print or on the radio or digitally, whatever it might be. And he could have all those dissenting voices, and I was certainly not, not that I was rooting against him, but I certainly didn't believe in him the way to this degree. No, I don't know anybody that did, I guess. But instead of using that and being petty and, almost, and having every right to do that, actually, because he was knocked around a little bit. Class act, just keeps chugging around the bases, hits a home run, gets the hugs, keeps it moving. Class act post game. He's actually really, really easy to root for. It's amazing.
He's everything you would want in an athlete.
He's a good human being, man.
Just like Jalen Brunson. And the difference is Lindor's had more success in the postseason where it counts the most, which is why, for me, he's now, right now, atop that list of New York sports athletes. BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls on the other side. I want to get into the Edwin Diaz stuff last night. I hated the usage of it, even in the win. 888-808-1019, so we'll do that. We got Yankee stuff to get to as well. Their big win in Game 3. What are we looking for tonight from them as well? So a lot to do. Just getting started. BT and Sal on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan on this day where we celebrate the Mets clinching a spot in the National League Championship Series. We'll get to the Yankees in a little bit. We'll also mention the Jets. We're going to have a new play caller for Monday night's game, so we'll do that in a little bit. We'll get back to your calls here, talking about Lindor and the greatness of what he has shown and, of course, the Mets' success. But before we do that, BT, I got to get this off my chest. I don't care that the result worked out. No way Mendy got lucky. And I love Mendy. He's been a great manager. No way, shape, or form should David Peterson been removed from that game last night for Edwin Diaz, who is as soft as they come. So much so that the team had to tell him on the mound in the middle of the inning, hey, throw the ball over the plate. They can't hit it. Throw strikes. I can't stand the sight of Edwin Diaz. It made me sick last night as I'm sitting there fearing that this knucklehead is going to blow another game. You know, the one constant with Lindor being in the middle of all the Mets' success is Diaz being in the middle of all the failures. Monday in Atlanta wouldn't have happened if he could do his damn job in the first place. Or Philadelphia game two. I mean, Diaz is just, my God, he's infuriating. And I know that at some point, like we talked about it yesterday, the idea was Quintana to Peterson to Diaz. However, you didn't need that because you got a couple of outs out of Reed Garrett, which then should have allowed Peterson, who was mowing the Phillies down and got the heart of the order down, you should have let Peterson stay in the game. And if this were the heart of the order, you think Mendoza would have gone to Diaz? Diaz got a bad combination of no confidence and no command. That's a major problem. He is the weak link right now, and they are fortunate. Mendoza made a huge mistake. They are fortunate that he didn't again blow that one last night.
I think if there were two people that I just don't trust moving forward, and one is just because he's physically shot at this point, no disrespect. One would be J.D. Martinez.
Yeah, he looks just...
He's old, man. And the other would be, obviously, Diaz. Now, the difference with Diaz, I guess you could always coach or manage around him. You don't have to go to him with the lead. It's easier to work around the erosion of Martinez's body because you have other options. You could play other people. Right. But Diaz is your closer. Now, I think that...
Real time last night you're watching that. Where were you at? Because I said it. I was tweeting it.
I thought he was going to give up a bomb.
Yeah, well, did you want...
After the walks.
Did you want him in? Because real time I'm saying it... Before even a decision was made,
yeah.
You can't take Peterson out of this game.
I saw your tweet, yeah.
Then the decision was made. I'm saying, this is a mistake. I would not do that. I hope it works. Mm-hmm. I would not do that.
Okay, now consider this. If he didn't pitch... Now, I was okay with it, right? I was okay with it given the lead and the circumstances. Okay. You have a little breathing room there. Now, if you didn't pitch him last night, or, you know, last night, and you win the game... Now you have, what, 5 or 6 days off before the NL Championship Series on Sunday, which I guess could be a good thing, or that's almost too much inactivity. Here's my biggest issue with Diaz. Like, I watched Seth Lugo for the Royals. He's got a nibble. He throws 92, 93. Yeah. I watched Quintana for the Mets. He's got a nibble. He throws what he throws, and he's got to really have guys expand the zones and just try to get it off the end of the bat and jam people when you surprise them. When you throw 99 and you have a wipeout slider that is filthy, and you are missing the strike zone, sometimes, Sal, by a foot. Matter of fact, when he threw the 8 straight pitch, I think the first strike call that he got was generous. It wasn't even a strike. I don't know if respect is the right word, but I'll just use it here. Like, I have no respect when you have plus stuff, or if you have great speed and you jog, and if you don't utilize what you have, your God-given filth, then you just you leave it in the chamber. And it's impossible to respect and it's impossible to trust.
Go attack.
He's a mess.
Go attack. You've got nasty stuff. What are you doing? So much so that the team and Lindor had to be like, bro, he's like, oh, let's go. Diaz was, I guess, saying, let's go. And Lindor's like, don't say let's go. Just do it.
Yeah, you go and throw a strike.
Do it. Throw a strike. Oh, my God, it's infuriating. I'm not going to make this a negative thing or a big thing, but I hated the sight of Diaz in that game when there's no need for it. Like, if Peterson were getting beat up a little bit, or if Peterson got in trouble, all right, cross your fingers. He has no choice to go to Diaz here. I thought he forced the issue going to Diaz, and then right out of the gate, you could tell that this guy he just doesn't have it because he's walking the ballpark because he's afraid to get beat because he's gotten beat so many times before. If the Mets don't win the World Series, it's going to be because Edwin Diaz can't do his job the right way because he doesn't have the guts to do it. And I want to use different words, but I'm not going to because I'm on the radio and I like my job and it's a fun day. He doesn't have the guts to pitch and attack the way that he needs to. And by the way, they bring him in against a soft spot, the bottom of the order.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, by the way, Peterson's assimilated nicely to the pen. Was that three? Is that three bullpen in the last couple of weeks? That's three? I think it's three.
He was their MVP of the series because game one, to me, the Mets won this series by winning game one, and that would not have happened.
That was huge. After Senga only gave you a couple, as we expected.
Correct. But then Peterson piggybacking, keeping the Mets in it there, and they come back and get that win. Once they won game one, I felt like they were going to win this series, and they did. They could have even swept. Obviously, they blew game two, but Peterson is a weapon the way that Hudson was for the Nats back in 2019 out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
They're going to need him. He's their I trust him more than I do anybody out of the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, going into, you know, even though he's been good for like seven or eight starts here, like really good. Like, I don't know that I always had this faith in Quintana going into the Milwaukee game. Yeah, you know, yesterday, like he's really given you more length and he's pitched much better than
I thought.
He's a good crafty pitcher. He has a plan. He sticks to it. But because his stuff is a little short, you worry about that. But, you know, even for me, that fear is kind of dissipated. From a Mets perspective, the only thing, listen, bats could get quiet, injuries could happen. But to me, the one guy, the warning flare that can really ruin the season, it's your closer. You can't trust him. He stinks.
Charlie's in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, Charles.
Good morning, big team. What a morning. The sun is shining, and what a game. And if there's anybody we expected that to happen to, it was Lindor. And he was in that spot. I just knew it. We all had to know it because he had one big hit after another. And just the atmosphere, I wish I was there last night, but the atmosphere there, and it's been unbelievable run. I've been a longtime fan, and I don't remember a run like this. And no offense, I'm tired of hearing about the younger generation stuff. I was there in 86 in Section 18. Listen, I deserve to get a run like this. It's been 39 years for me as a Mets fan.
Yes,
I deserve a run like this.
You do.
Well, it doesn't matter. You're right.
You deserve it.
And thank you for the call, Charlie, as always. It doesn't matter how old you are. You got to enjoy this. If you're a Mets in sports, like forget about the Mets fan for a second individually. In sports, runs like these are so rare that's what makes it special. And you could feel that something special was going on for a while, but then the way that it's just snowballed here to a level of, I mean, it is amazing what has gone on and quite unbelievable the way that they've won these games and now these series here. It's hard to actually believe. So if you're 86, if you're 66, 46, 26, 16, 6, whatever you are, enjoy it because this is special and it may never happen again.
But now I'm going to gas you up here and fuel you here on something that you started a while ago. I don't know if it's going to happen, but at least there's enough seeds being planted now. Forget about being 86 or 56. Yeah. If you're 15 or 16, the thing that energized Met fans with the arrival of Cohen was obviously eventually win a championship, but to eventually obscure that massive shadow that the Yankees have always placed over you guys, right? And now, again, you got to win for that to happen. But there's an awakening now. There's a movement now. I don't know, man. I've watched Mets my whole life, and unless I'm just misremembering, like 2015, I don't think 2015 quite sounded like yesterday. I just don't. 86 Shea was always nuts. That's just a different building, different bones, but it sounds different with the Mets now, and the young fans are taking that baton. They're like, oh, the Yankees haven't won since who the hell are the Yankees? Yeah, Judge is doing nothing. Yankees, they might beat the Royals. They might not. We'll get to them later. They haven't won since 2009.
There's no fear of the Yankees either this particular year.
No, there's not. Because you played them four times in the Subway Series. You beat them four times.
Also, just watch the two teams. Like,
yeah, now, it could also lead to ultimate heartbreak where you guys, you know, get set up and all gassed up and think that the Yankees are vulnerable and you have a Subway Series again and the Yankees clip the Mets again or the Mets can exact the ultimate revenge and
or
flip
they don't
the
get
script
there.
or the Mets don't get there, or the Yankees do, or the Yankees don't, and the Mets do. I mean, there's so many different combinations, but to me, the old Met fan was never going anywhere, just like the old Jet fan. But now, if you have those 50-50 fans and they're looking in Queens, like they don't love the Yanks, they don't love the Mets, their dad or their uncle's not all in on either team, but maybe they were influenced by buddies, whatever it might be in Queens or in Brooklyn or Long Island. Now, back in the day, it was always, we're a Yankee cap. Yankees are cool. Jay-Z made it cool. Yankees this, Yankees that. Met fans, profile's a little different.
Mets are starting to...
A little different. I'll give you that.
Starting to take the town little, back. Now,
it's
as you
a little
said,
different.
Long way to go.
But this is more...
It feels like it's more than just one-off. Started in 2022. You know what the new owner can do.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the success now. It should only get better moving forward. It could be the beginning of the town starting to shift back, or at least have more of an even split than what we've seen in the last 30-plus years.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Can I be totally honest with you?
Yeah.
I'm watching. I'm recording everything. I'm watching.
Colt getting into it?
No. He actually hates that. I'm even trying to tell him, like, don't hate the Mets. Oh, really? I don't know why he does. I'm even trying to defuse that. He's like, I hate the Mets. Maybe he's a little worried. I don't know. His little 9-year-old mind is feeling threatened by these Metsies. I swear to God, I thought this last night. You know, DVR and back and forth. I hate that there was an overlap.
I know.
It sucked.
I know.
And I'm watching the Mets celebration. And I'm watching Cohen and his wife, right? And I said to myself, I said, if Sal comes out and bangs the trumpets and the Cohen music, it would be a little more fitting than the other times he's played it. Like, I'm listening to Cohen, and what he was saying, like, you know, I'm trying to remove, not stench, but I'm trying to remove this pain for all the Met fans, like... It was perfect. And it was humble. He's not like this outspoken alpha, although I'm sure in the boardroom he's an alpha. But he just projects very softly and very, very respectfully. But make no mistake about it, this man is on a mission to change absolutely everything about the baseball dynamic in this city. All right, BT and Sal, 888-808-1019 here on The Fan. Giancarlo Stanton doing damage. Just as a very quick aside, we get back to these Mets here. 888-808-1019. I want to play something from Steve Cohen, which was great.
Yeah.
And I think also from Lindor. But the text that we got last night from Susan
in the group chat
was hysterical. She's like, are you okay with Stanton playing now? Because I was yelling about sitting Stanton yesterday.
Yeah.
And she texted you and I Stanton doing well. But we'll do the Yanks later.
Yeah,
obviously.
About 15 minutes or so we'll do the Yankees. But you said something about Cohen before we break. I want to get back to the Mets calls here in a second. You said something about Steve Cohen, what he said last night about slaying the negativity and showing that he was a great owner. Let's listen to that soundbite that he had on SNY.
That's what I was going to ask. When you bought this team, were nights like tonight, stadium packed, everybody on every single pitch. Was that what you...
For this, for years, I wanted this place packed. I want to slay the negative, you know, Met fan perceptions. And we're on our way to doing that. So let's keep it going.
Certainly are. Steve, right. Alex, congratulations.
All right, thank you.
It was refreshing to hear that, BT. That's what you were talking about, right? That quote before?
That was the money quote of his tenure. So I want to slay the negative Met perceptions.
Words of, would you say, a king! His New York Mets are in the National League Championship Series, BT. I would say he has been acting like a king. All rise and show your respect to the king, Steve Cohen.
Mm.
King Cohen. Forget the money, BT. It's more than that. Matter of fact, he might deliver on that promise that he made in that 3 to 5 year window, expecting a World Series. But you are seeing actions of a king, a team that is acting worthy of a king as their owner. Thank you, King Cohen.
You are insane.
Yeah.
Are you done?
I had that ready. I had that ready, and you threw it out. I was like, oh, let's do it now.
That was a good one, although you did realize you dropped in a little Judge All Rise. So even as you praise your owner, who yet, by the way, has been yet to be crowned the actual king, isn't won yet, you had to reach into the Yankee verbiage.
I didn't notice, unintentionally, of course, but even then,
it's always omnipresent, the Yankees.
Yeah. Well,
All Rise is what you said. All Rise.
Okay.
You said All Rise.
It's irrelevant.
You know who we rise for.
Yeah.
The judge.
The king.
The judge.
The king.
Hey.
What did
the
I
judge
say exactly?
Rules on the king.
All rise for the king. Yeah. Okay,
The judge rules on the king.
Judge isn't doing squat right now.
He's not ruling on anything right now. He's ruling on 0-2, 1-2 with
you can all bow to the king if you like. I was trying to be nice. That was the first thing that I thought. You want to bow to the king? You could bow to the king. Yeah. You could rise for the judge. Bow down to the king, though.
Right, listen,
I'm not bowing to anybody, but.
I heard that last night. And that's the quote that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, I can only imagine If we were ever lucky enough for Woody Johnson to sell the Jets, and like the new owner said that, and like the Jets win a wild card game, and they're getting ready for the divisional, or they win the divisional, they get ready for the AFC championship, and the new owner, only a couple of years in his tenure, looks into a microphone and says, I am here to slay all of the negative Jet fans' feelings. Like,
yeah.
What else do you need to hear?
Well, you got
to
see the result. Like, they could say it all they want. They actually have to do it. And, like, I love this idea that everybody's overwhelming. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Everybody's so negative. No. We're realistic. I wasn't negative in 2022. Matter of fact, I was more positive than anybody else in this town. I was the first to say that they were going to win the division because they were good in May. So much so that I took more heat than the Mets themselves. I joked with Billy Epple about it. So King Cullen and David Stearns can kiss my ass when it comes to that. Oh, negativity and this and that, because I'm tired of hearing that.
How did this turn?
Oh, because it does bother me. Oh, the negativity. No, you have to actually go out there and do it. This is something worthy of celebrating. Clearly, this is what we expect. It's not my fault that I have the highest of standards and your teams can't deliver for 40 plus years. So don't blame us. Blame your players who were less than. Now you have the right mix and they're proving it.
Yeah.
So it is annoying to hear, like Stern said last night, oh, I guess the narrative that this core couldn't get it done is BS.
Oh, I didn't hear him say that.
Yeah, well, he's
Anthony
DeComo tweeted that out. Tweeted that out. No, not quite. This core is not what it was in 2022. Mark Vientos, who you, along, like, I didn't think Mark Vientos was going to be any good. Mm. Also, based on what I was hearing from within the organization, you had Vientos in the minor leagues to start. It wasn't until you brought him up that things started to change. The core changed. Alonso took a back seat. There were more impactful players. Iglesias came here and was an impactful piece. So let's not make it like we were wrong for saying that anybody couldn't do it. They didn't do it. They had to prove that they could. And now they've done it to a man. Lindor, Nimmo, Alonso have all had huge, impactful moments. But let's not rip the fans or the media for being negative when it was warranted for being critical of the team.
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget McNeil was part of that core as well. And McNeil was hitting .210 for most of the year before he got a little hot. And then eventually he's batting eighth and ninth and then eventually got hurt. Now we'll see if he comes back, whatever. But no, I look at it. I always say to you that I say this to you when you get, you know, worked up. And I get worked up over certain things too. But I don't hang literally on what coaches say. Or front office executive, unless it's just so demeaning and so egregious that I absolutely have to take it literally and react like, you know, like a crazy person, which with certain things I do. But like when Aaron Boone talks about the bullpen, he's like, we'll figure it out. And you and I were getting into it. I'm like, hey, you know, I don't care what Aaron Boone says about the bullpen. As long as Clay Holmes is not out there in a 3-2 game with nobody out in the ninth inning, I don't care what he says. Like, it's it's meant to galvanize the team. It's a rally cry, whatever it takes, man. And I'll tell you something else it shows. It shows that they listen to the show.
Right.
And by the way, in real time, we were not wrong.
But here's what bothers me, and I don't think it was just, obviously, us, I mean, whether they listen to the show or not. I mean, it bothers me, though, that where is that coming from? All the negativity.
Was it posted?
Did anybody call? I've heard from a lot of things over the years about certain stuff that I've said, hey, you were too harsh. Nobody once called and said, hey, thank you for being positive about this team and believing in us.
Yeah, right. That's true. You don't get those calls. You never will.
And by the way, I'm still getting crap from fans for the prediction that went wrong in 2022, which is ridiculous. But like, think about that. So I don't want to hear from them that anybody was wrong. And I am sensitive to it. I admit that. And I'm not just saying from my perspective, but a lot of fans are well within their rights to be critical of a team that didn't get it done.
That's right.
They choked into 2022. They sucked in 2023. This team, were 11 games under 500 this year. Now, today's not the day to bring that up, but all that, like, all negativity and we're trying to slay that and, oh, that narrative was BS. No. It took this to make that go away. But you guys created. We didn't create it. You did by your play. It's just tough to take when that becomes the story.
Yeah, I mean, our instincts were right and our opinions were right until they weren't. And when they were no longer applicable, guess what? We changed our tune.
Right. Well,
now,
right.
I don't know.
Right, negativity would be, nah, they're not going to beat
the
Phillies.
Enough. They're going to lose to the Dodgers. They're going to lose to the Padres. Right. Not real. Phillies are really better. Right. I can even make the case the Brewers are better. They got lucky. Pete hit one the other way. Barely went out. No, that would be
correct.
That would be unfair. Now, to be fair to Stearns, I did not hear the way the question was positioned. Was it something now? Because that matters.
All I saw was,
think about this, Al. Yeah. So I heard, you just told me what he said, encapsulated what he said. If it was, you know, hey, David, one of the tones around this team this year early is that they weren't good enough, or the core was, like, if it was positioned that way and then he took part of the question and incorporated that within his answer, that's a different, even though it still wouldn't bother me, that's different than him for reaching into it or reaching for it without provocation.
He was asked, I'm pretty sure he was asked for it. I did not see it. I'll read you the quote from DeComo. Anthony DeComo covers the MetroMLB.com. Dave, this is his tweet. David Stearns on the narrative that this Mets core of Lindor, Alonso, Nimmo, ETC can't win. Quote, I think they've shown that's bull bleep.
I respect that answer.
Yeah. I mean,
I respect the answer. Again, if he was asked about the narrative, which was, again, applicable, it's his right to volley back. Because guess what? When the Mets did suck, he was quiet.
Right.
And rightfully so. They were plotting a way out of it. And I think on some levels, they were plotting, all right, when do we really start looking at trading Pete? Right. When do we maybe try to unload Marte or McNeil? Like, they won't admit this, but they were absolutely doing their due diligence on Plan B, because Plan A was awful.
Right.
And then once they were about to abort Plan A, guess what? It kicked in, and we acknowledged that. It's been great.
All I'm saying is they shouldn't react to that and feel like there's overwhelming negativity. Most people, and again, it's never all one thing. Some people are going to be overwhelmingly negative. Some people be overwhelmingly positive. Some people are fair.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think that I am fair. I like to think that you are fair. And we base off of what we're seeing. Like, even this year, when they were 11 games under, it was awful. When they started to dig out of it, I did believe that they were legitimate. I never thought it was going to fall apart to the extent that many did. So if they're not going to acknowledge when people are backing them, and me saying King Cohen and the Mets are going to take this town over from the Yankees years ago, to a point where Spike, our old boss, was in the meeting like, yeah, okay, like you're saying that because I'm a Mets fan. No, I'm not saying it because I'm a Mets fan. I'm saying it because I believe, and here are the reasons why I believe. So if they're not going to acknowledge those type of reactions from fans or media members, then I find it a little poor.
A little disingenuous.
Yeah, like, I get it. I get it. The negativity sells, and you people react to that more. But let's not make it like everybody's just ripping the Mets nonstop for no reason, just because we're negative, because that's just not true. BT and Sal on the Fan, we'll get to the Yankees and work in your calls as well when we come back. 888-808-1019.